Quintessential with your hosts John Coos and Scott Martinez.
All right, welcome to another episode of Quintessential with John and Scott. Hey, Scott, how you been?
I've been all right. How you been?
Great, thanks. For those of in the audience, we actually can see each other, which is kind of funky right now. But yeah, we've been out a little bit. It's been a little bit of delay. We had the Super Bowl weekend and other stuff. So I know people have been clamoring for episode 6, and we reached a milestone.
Clamoring.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
We reached a milestone in the last few days. Did you get that email?
I did, like 500 downloads or something.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. So yeah, so today we're
going to thank you all again.
Yeah, thank you. Today we're going to walk down memory lane about movies in the 80s. Where we watched them, how we watched them, and everything. So I was thinking about a first question for you. What's your earliest memory of going to a big movie in a theater?
You know, that's a good question. I'm trying to think of anything before. Like the reason I really remember The Jazz Singer so much is because we got into it so much afterwards with your sister's cassette of the...
Right.
And so, I mean, how old were we then? We were less than 10, weren't we?
I don't know, probably eight or nine or something.
Right.
Something like that. Where do you? I think I remember where I saw that movie, which is crazy. Do you remember where you saw it?
I saw it with you, I thought. You may have seen it first, and then I saw it with you next time you went.
I don't know. There's no one to correct us. Well, actually, my sister might claim that she'll remember. I don't know. Who knows? But I think we saw it at that Cypress Twin Cinema over there, like off of, I think, was that Ball Road and Walker? I don't even know if it's still there, but that's a good, that was a good one. A lot of crying and whatever. Coming to America, right?
Yeah. They're coming to America.
Timmy!
Yeah.
But no, what I was getting at was something like Star Wars. I remember seeing Star Wars and Superman at the big Newport, and it was like a big deal to go all the way down there. Did you remember ever going to we have to see this movie here because it's like they had the best sound and stuff?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Well, what do you remember?
I remember having to go to theaters for the best sound or the best theme quality. But the funny thing is, I remember seeing those movies more after seeing them in the theater versus the first time I saw them in the theater. I don't know why. More on like VHS or on some other mode of seeing it.
Laser disc?
Laser disc, probably. I had laser disc, but I didn't have that one. Star Wars, for sure.
I think Star Wars was ended up on ABC one time, and it was like three and a half hours long with commercials or something like that.
Right. I mean, I do remember
movies on network television.
Yeah, I do remember. Like I mentioned earlier, I believe about we'd always sit and watch a lot of musicals on TV, and whenever Fiddler on the Roof came on Channel 5, KTLA, we would watch it. But you had to wait until it was on. It wasn't like you can say, I want to watch Fiddler on the Roof. Bam, it's on. It's like, you had to wait.
No. There was no on-demand.
You should look at the listing and say, when's it? Oh, Friday at 8. Okay, I got to be there.
It must have been completely lost on me, your love for Fiddler on the Roof. I know you mentioned it in a previous podcast, but I think the musical I remember from TV was Sound of Music. You know, I think they showed it like once a year around Christmas time on like ABC or something, you know, but that was super long on TV too, like four hours long.
Yeah, all those movies were. South Pacific was another one we watched.
I didn't know you were all into these musicals.
Yeah, we watched them. They were great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Yeah, but we, you know, I would imagine that in the 80s or whatever, we probably saw more movies at the Valley View Twin than anywhere else, don't you think?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was someplace that we could actually get ourselves to without needing a ride.
Right, right. Yeah, but, you know, and I don't even know how it ended up happening. We talked about it before. Like, how did it end up that we saw Stripes so many times? I think we saw it more than once, like three or four times. Wasn't it there? Like tons of times.
It was at Valley View Twin that we saw it that your mom brought us.
Did she bring us to it or drop us off, or did she go?
No, she brought us. I don't know if she went. She might have dropped us off. But I mean, technically, we needed an adult to be with us. So I think she went with us.
Well, that movie would probably be like a PG today. I mean, there wasn't really much in it that made it like explicit nudity or something, was there?
There was breasts, I believe.
Yes, which were always good to see,
right? Because they weren't like all, you know, fuzzy like later on when you had to try and watch it on TV and you're like trying to catch one in with all the blocked out image.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, so yeah, going to the movies was great, and you know, we always tried to like, I remember trying to get more bang for our buck and like go and see like and switch between theaters.
Yes,
and,
for like, sure.
And you know, the Westminster Mall had the UA Twin outside, and you literally, like, if you paid for a ticket, you would either walk in one side, I think Valley View is the same at one point too, or you walk in the other side, so you couldn't switch. But like,
yeah, there were two sides.
But the Edwards Cinema West, which was, I think, on like, where is that, Westminster Boulevard and Golden West, they had like six theaters, and my mom would go there, and she would go, I think, with Mrs. Warhey, and we would go watch whatever we wanted to watch, and be like, okay, we'll see you in like 5 hours because we're going to switch between theaters. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. I do remember going to like Jiffy Stop and getting all the candy we can get to bring with us as well.
Yeah, because it'd be way cheaper, right? There's no way. Yeah. And you had to smuggle it in your pants, you know?
They didn't pat us down, at least.
They didn't pat us down, but yeah, that was fun. And then, you know, if you didn't see a movie in the theater, you might not see it for a long time because, you know, even cable back then, which came around like what, 83 or 84, like it took a while for like HBO to like get a movie. It would take like 2 years, wouldn't it? Like, kind of. I don't know if it was that long,
but it was a while. I mean, but before HBO, there was on TV and Spike TV and stuff.
Well, did you know anybody who had either?
I did know someone who had on TV, and I'm trying to remember. I think there were still things were scheduled. It wasn't like it was just movies were on all the time. It was like at 8 o'clock on TV would be on, and you could watch whatever movie was on. I don't think it was on 24 hours a day.
Well, you had to have a special.
You had to have an
antenna, a dish. I think it was a dish, I think, on the roof. Maybe. And I think Select TV had this square antenna. And I think a couple of our neighbors actually had it. I think Darren might have had on TV at one point. I could be wrong. I'm not sure. Yeah, but it was almost like, you've got on TV. Like, that's a lot of money, you know, kind of thing. And I never had it, but I remember, I remember going to a friend's house, and they had cable, and one of the channels was like Select TV later on, and they would have like adult related things, but they would be all squiggly. You remember that? Like all like
scrambled. Like,
scrambled, and you're kind of, but you could hear things, and you'd look at it, try to figure out what's going on in the movie. But, you know, when you're 13 or 14 years old, it's pretty cool stuff back then. You know, it's not like today where the internet has all kinds of options of fulfilling teenage desires to see boobs or something like that, you know?
Right. Well, that's what we did. I mean, that's you try and find that 1 second that it wasn't scrambled that you could see.
I think I saw a boob. Yeah.
Which is funny because there's a Simpsons episode where I think it's when Homer goes back to college and they go to the security area of the college and they're like, let's watch the kids making out in the library. And so they switch their little thing in front of them. And they go, oh, it's scrambled. And it was all scrambled. So they couldn't watch the kids make out in the library.
So do you remember when you first got a VCR?
I do remember our first VCR. It was a half a VCR.
What does that mean?
We inherited. It only had the playback side. Like it was kind of a weird one. It was one where you could take half of it apart and just bring the playback part. And then the other part was the kind you could set it up to like do the timer and all that stuff. Was the second half of it. And it broke off into pieces so that there were two separate pieces that clicked in together. But if you wanted to just take the part where you can watch the movie without the other part, you could just bring that half of it with you somewhere if you wanted to. Like,
was that the thing where like you could hook a video camera to it and you would carry this giant VCR on your shoulder?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, okay, I got it. Yeah, but you know, you remember what we got first, right?
Of course. You guys were the beta band.
Betamax. Yeah. And we were convinced of that by a church family that was all into Betamax. And it was so crazy. If you remember going to her house, she lived over kind of near Perry's, actually. And was it Perry's? Like Springdale and Valley View. And like her parents had like these giant built-in bookcases with just hundreds of Betamax tapes, and they had like three VCRs, and they would like rent a movie at one of our local video stores and then copy each movie they watched. And so my mom was kind of sold on this idea that we could just borrow movies from them. And we also sold on this notion, which I guess is true, that Betamax made by Sony had a better picture quality than, VHS.
It definitely was true.
But Sony made the mistake that kind of like Apple made with the Apple II, where they wouldn't release their technology for licensing to anyone else. And so you know the VHS, which I think was made by Magnavox, just gave they just gave the technology to everyone. So then like everyone had VHS and like only people who had Betamax and it just crushed it. Like it just VHS crushed the Betamax format.
It was cheaper and easier to buy a VHS. And yeah, once people bought it.
Crappier quality. People would rather pay less than whatever. It is what it is. I mean, it's the same thing kind of happened when Blu-ray came out. There were, I don't know if you remember the format battle between DVD HD and Blu-ray. Right. And DVD HD just was the Betamax of that whole thing. But yeah, I mean, and we would go to these video stores and rent movies like Video Crossroads, which was over by what?
By Sizzler, wasn't it?
By Sizzler, But what was the name of that place that was a little darker and it was over by Toy City? Was that Movie Time or there was a video store over there too?
Right, it's possible. I can't recall. My old brain doesn't.
Yeah, but they both had those rooms with the beads that were like off limits to minors, or you know, if you know what I'm talking about. It's kind of like you kind of try to peek in there, and it was always weird because like people would just like walk out of there like adults, and you're like, that person was just in the adult video section. That's creepy. That's weird. But going there and renting movies and stuff, I mean, that was all fun and stuff. But
yeah, I used to record them too. We got a second VCR that was a normal one, and so I used to rent them and record them as well. I remember, I think like Beverly Hills Cop was the first one I ever recorded illegally.
Well, I used to tape like Cheers episodes.
Yeah, you were like the Netflix before Netflix. Like you got all the Cheers episodes on beta. Anytime you wanted, we could throw it on there.
Yeah, totally. It was a great time. But do you remember going to the Cinedome in Orange?
Yes. That's where you would see big movies for sure.
Yeah, I remember seeing Back to the Future there, and I remember seeing Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom there. But you know, that was kind of far to go, but those places were like the first stadiums, you know, when nobody else had stadiums. You know, and back then all those theaters were flat. And sometimes like Valley View and stuff, because they didn't clean it very much, they would like, you know how like when the theater would slope down slightly and then it would kind of the front like kind of angle back up. And where it did that, it almost created this place where like residue could build up, like from spilled drinks. Do you remember that? It was kind of grimy in there.
I do remember it wasn't as nice as other places for sure, but I don't remember all the details.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I think I actually saw Star Wars in the theater 5 times. You said you don't even remember seeing it in the theater.
I'm sure I did, but I don't recall. I mean, I remember seeing E.T. in the theater many times, including in Puerto Rico.
Did it have Spanish subtitles?
No, I don't believe so. I think it was just in English. But the way the movies were there was you could show up an hour later and you wouldn't miss the movie. Like the preview started when the movie was supposed to start, and they were like, it was like an hour's worth of commercials and commercial and commercial and whatnot. And it's like, why am I here again? It was literally like 40 minutes before the movie actually started. That I do remember in Puerto Rico, that's what it was like. But yeah, I don't recall seeing a lot of movies in the theater. I mean, I do remember seeing Stripes because that was the first rated R movie. I do remember seeing E.T. in the theater for whatever reason. But I don't know why I don't have a lot of strong memories of seeing movies in theaters.
I don't know. I don't know.
Or going to theater. I remember seeing Batman Midnight Showing. Because that's when you like to go to the movies. It was the night before, midnight.
We saw Batman with Michael Keaton at the, is it called?
That's the Beach Boulevard one?
It was Beach Boulevard, Stanton. It was the Edwards Village Center or something like that, or Village Theaters or something. Yeah, I mean, we saw Batman at like midnight because technically it came out on Friday, and I guess technically after midnight was Friday. I think it made you go a couple times. You're like, why are we going to the movies at like midnight?
We did a couple times, sure. That was the John hours, is what we called it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fair enough. But I had to see it first, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah. I think the first PG movie I ever saw was, I don't know why I remember this. It was a James Bond movie called A Spy You Loved Me. I don't know why I remember that, but I can tell you that I had a couple, I don't know if I mentioned this in previous podcasts, but I had a couple awkward movie going experiences with my mother in her attempt to, I don't know, break me out of a funk after my dad died or something. She took me to see Porky's, which is kind of rough when you're 13 or 12 or something and you see that with your mom.
Right.
Do you remember that movie?
I do remember that movie. That was a coveted movie to try and see. I mean, it was later on we ended up with like a VHS copy of it, and we watched it at your house
over and over.
But that was like the you know, every parent was like, you can't let your child go see this movie.
Yeah, for some reason, my mom actually took me. And then she also took me to see Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which is also crazy when you're 12 because there's a couple of really awkward scenes in that movie too. But, you know, Fast Times actually in some ways was kind of the kicked off like this whole genre of pretty high quality teen angst type movies. And I watched it recently and it still stands up. It's super awesome. Have you seen it recently?
I haven't seen it recently, but I still remember quotes from it, such as like, you know, you pretend everywhere you are is the place to be. Isn't this great?
Right. That was the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean if I get explicit, it was, he also said, whether she comes, stays, lays, or prays, your toes are still tapping. Like, it doesn't really matter. You're super cool, you know. But then he had Jeff Spicoli with the whole, like, bringing a pizza into class and all that stuff. Dick.
You dick.
What's that? What do you call Mr. Hand?
Yeah.
Mr. Hand. Yeah. You dick. But yeah, that was a great movie. And then the other movie you and I were talking about recently about soundtracks, but Valley Girl.
Yes, it was a great movie.
Have you watched that one recently?
I think you mentioned that you had recently mentioned it in that particular podcast, and I haven't watched it in a long time, but I'm sure it still holds pretty well.
Yeah. Did I mention that I always was perplexed that, like, Nicolas Cage, who was supposedly a senior in high school, was like going to clubs in downtown LA, and the bouncer knew his name. I mean, when we were like 13 or 14, we'd be like, whoa, that's cool. But is that even real, you think, even for then?
I mean, you had a fake ID that got taken away within like 4 seconds of you owning it. So
that's,
I mean,
true.
People did. We did try, you know, you did want to try and do the things that adults could do that you couldn't when you were younger. So, I mean, he was just that cool, you know,
but they didn't like, well, anyway,
right. Whatever. Because he was that cool. I mean, he was the man.
He was that cool. He was that cool. Yeah. He was that cool. I mean, but
so he was the dork in the movie.
Well, he was a punker, sort of, right. like a I didn't know any punk rockers that looked like that, but he was kind of like a combo of a new wave and punk rocker guy or something.
Right.
Yeah. And then like versus the preppies.
Right.
And the rich kids that lived in the valley. And anyway, but yeah, that was a great movie. I mean, then they had the whole John Hughes thing. I specifically remember going to see 16 Candles with that youth leader at church, that guy, Bob Williams, remember that guy?
I do remember.
And seeing that, and then afterwards, I was talking about how Anthony Michael Hall's character, was like, he was a dork, but he was cool and sure of himself, and he also like ended up hooking up with the senior at the end. I'm like, that guy was so cool, and Bob Williams is like, you don't want to be like him. Like, why not? he's pretty cool. That was a John Hughes film. And
Fresh Breath was a priority in his life.
Fresh Breath. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. And Long Duck Dong.
Right.
I mean, anyway, I mean,
that's the thing too. That was the kind of movie that I didn't quite believe that the big guy would fall for her.
Oh, Jake Ryan.
Yeah.
That he was with the homecoming princess, and he was right.
But he was infatuated with this dorky, homely looking.
You think she's homely?
Well, she wasn't. That
she wasn't. Well, for whatever reason, John Hughes thought she was the catch meow because, you know, he. Right,
she played the princess girl then in what's that movie called?
Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club. Yeah.
Yeah, Breakfast Club, which was kind of like the second – that was the second movie, and it had the Brat Pack. And that movie still stands up today, actually, and it's super cool. But there's always a bit of overdramatics. Like, when I watched some of those movies, maybe because, you know, we talked about it, I wasn't always, like, in the in crowd in high school and stuff like that. And, like, you know, people had the way that they talked to each other, I thought was a little too adultish, like Judd Nelson and stuff. I don't know, or maybe I couldn't relate to it. I don't know, but those were super cool movies, and they stand up.
Yeah, it was a fun movie.
Yeah, and then the next John Hughes movie was Weird Science, I think, and that came out, and I think I saw that with you at Edwards Cinema West. Do you remember? You obviously don't remember going to the movies.
No, I do remember seeing Bachelor Party the first day it came out with you and Darren.
what year was that? Probably like 84 or something.
Yeah, I have to look it up. But yeah, we saw that first day it came out.
Yeah, I think that was like eight. I think that was
rated Westminster R. UA.
Was it because he was working there?
I don't know. We went right away in the morning. Yeah,
was it the morning?
I think it was like 11 o'clock, or it was the first showing of the day. That was you, Darren, and I.
Yeah, thanks, Darren. I wonder if Darren's listened yet.
I don't know.
You should ask him next time you see him.
I should.
Is he? You saw him last weekend. He and Dave were playing wiffle ball, right?
Yeah, oh,
pitcher's hand.
PH, yeah.
PH, yeah. But yeah. Anyway, I mean, I fondly remember that stuff, and then like,
to the weird science.
Yeah, weird science, man.
You know, it's funny. I like that movie, and there's a lot of great quotes from that movie that we carried on. But for some reason, that Wyatt guy really annoyed me. He was just always whining all the time.
Well, his voice was really annoying.
Yeah,
Gary. Yeah,
that's what I hate about that movie. It's his character.
Well, the guy, is it Bill Paxton?
Yes, Bill Paxton. The guy who played his
older brother.
Yeah,
he had probably the most memorable lines in the movie.
Oh, for sure.
Like
here's how about a nice greasy pork sandwich served in a dirty ashtray? Or hey girls.
I'm kind of drawing a blank on them, but I know. I mean, I could practically recite it when I see the movie. Like, I know every line. I saw it so many times. A lot of great lines.
What about this? What's a beautiful girl like you doing with a was a mulatta like him? What does he say exactly? You remember? She's into Malacca. What's a beautiful girl like you doing with a Malacca like him? She's into Malaccas.
Yeah. It was a great movie. It had a great soundtrack. I mean,
kicked him in the balls and called him faggot in front of everybody.
The family jewels.
Called it every night on the telephone. Like every night on the telephone. Yeah, what's this guy talking about on the telephone?
I just said I was every talking on the telephone. I know. It was, and then the whole thing with the computer and everything with creating your own woman out of a Barbie doll. I mean, it was a crazy idea, but it was kind of fun because we were all into computers at the time. So it's almost like your mind wanders, like, is this the future? Could we actually do this someday?
It gave Bongo Boingo a worldwide exposure.
Platform.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Because Dead Man's Party, right? I think the song Weird Science was on the Dead Man's Party album, maybe. Was it?
I don't know. I'd have to check that out. But it definitely, that song was a hit single, I think.
It's probably their most recognizable song, don't you think?
Maybe. I mean, not for Southern Californians, but for maybe for
the rest of the world.
The rest of the country, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that was a great movie. And then, Pretty in Pink was pretty solid too. And that's got a lot of great lines like Blaine, that's not a name. That's a major appliance.
Yeah.
But that was another movie where you're kind of like, I mean, really, like James Spader is supposed to be a senior and he's acting like he's like a 25-year-old with, I just couldn't relate to it. Well, but I loved it. I loved it though. Right. And once again, I think there's actually an article about John Hughes, who's dead now, God rest his soul, that he actually had a weird obsession with Molly Ringwald. Did you ever hear that story?
I don't doubt it, but I have not heard that story.
So apparently after Breakfast Club, I think it was after one of the movies. He was going to cast her for another movie and didn't do it because he got so jealous that he found out that Molly Ringwald and Anthony Michael Hall had hooked up. I was like, so he's basically jealous of a 35-year-old guy is jealous of like a 17-year-old guy. Kind of weird, but She was in Pretty in Pink, you know, and that had, we talked about it. We can't really talk about it again, but that had a badass soundtrack. And it was so cool because what's her name? The gal from Ghostbusters who was like Molly Ringwald is like, she worked in those record store.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I worked with her one day on a show.
Is that Annie Potts? Is
Annie
that
her Potts, name? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, she was super cool in that movie.
She was her best friend.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great movie. I mean, and you know, Andrew McCarthy, I don't know. I mean, but whatever. I guess he's okay. He always kind of looked like his eyes were filled with like liquid, like he looked doughy eyed. I don't know if you remember that or not, but I guess he was
him in the eye.
Yeah, fair enough. And then John Cryer who
John
played
Cryer was Ducky.
Was Ducky. Yeah. Yeah. And the funny thing about the John Cryer character is that it's almost like he was a gay guy obsessed with a gal in terms of his sort of the way he held himself. But maybe John Hughes couldn't make a strong gay character. Did you ever pick up on that? That he kind of seemed more, I don't know.
I just found him to be more that he was just more of a individual.
Maybe so. Yeah. That, yeah. But,
you know, with the way he dressed and the way, but he was also poor. So it's, you know, they couldn't. They had to like go to the thrift shops to get their wardrobe.
Yeah, that's true. But and then
so he sort of made it work because he would find like the cool hat at the thrift shop and the whatever and be the eccentric
guy. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't deliberately go through the list of the John Hughes movies, but they were also good in a row. I mean, Ferris Bueller's Day Off was just a mind blower. It was so fun, you know?
Yeah.
I remember Mr. Wusatich in his classroom had like a Ferris Bueller's Day Off poster in his classroom, and I mean that was just a super cool movie, and it had a lot of great lines in it too, right? Do you remember any of it?
I do remember when Cameron was a little boy, let my Cameron go.
yeah.
But yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm drawing a blank of a lot of the quotes from Ferris Bueller, but there's definitely the Sausage King of Chicago scene is very memorable.
Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago. Yeah. Yeah. That was a great movie. And then the last one really in that whole series was Some Kind of Wonderful, which some people kind of forget about, but I actually watched it with my daughter kind of recently. And I kind of like picked up on the parallels between Pretty in Pink. It was almost like the same movie in a weird way. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have to see that movie again. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I did enjoy it.
Well, like Eric Stoltz is the guy on the wrong side of the tracks, right? And he's in love with Leah Thompson, who's also on the wrong side of the tracks, but she hangs out with the rich kids and he's pining for her. And then you got, what's her name? The guy, her name was Styx in the show, but she was a drummer, short blonde hair.
Oh yeah. You're talking about, I don't remember.
And she is almost like the Ducky character because she was loving her best friend and it wasn't requited. And then, you know, at the end, they get together and they realize that they've been in love the whole time kind of thing and all that stuff. But I thought that movie was underrated and pretty awesome, actually.
Right. Unfortunately for Leah Thompson, then she ended up in Howard the Duck.
That pretty much killed her career.
I would think it killed anyone's career.
Right. Well, she was on a tear a little bit in the 80s. I mean, she was in Red Dawn, wasn't she?
That's a perfect example of the type of movie that became like an HBO regular.
Sure.
Like you'd be sitting at home, and all of a sudden it would be on HBO or whatever. You just watch it.
Or the Outsiders.
The Outsiders and 3 o'clock High. Was one that wasn't a very popular movie, but we watched it so many times just because it was on like HBO every 5 seconds. And that's a lot of great lines for us. I mean, we quoted that movie a lot, 3 o'clock High.
Three o'clock High is a great movie.
Yeah.
It's almost like High Noon-ish in its kind of quality. They keep flipping back to the clock. It had some cool cinematic qualities and how they move the camera around, and It built this suspense that at the end of the day, he was going to get beat up by Buddy Ryan, I think that guy's name was Buddy, who looked like a total man.
Yeah.
You know?
Michael Hutchins a little bit. Yeah, the Michael Hutchins hair.
Sort of a burly Michael Hutchins.
Yeah,
that was a pretty cool movie too. But Red Dawn, I mean, Wolverines. Mm-hmm. It was that whole Cold War thing where, like, you know, we were at any moment we were going to be nuked by the Russians or attacked by the Russians. So it totally played into that whole era, and you know, I mean, it was kind of cool. I mean, it was an ensemble cast, you know. For whatever reason, Patrick Swayze was always this leader of a bunch of kids, just like he was in The Outsiders. Right. and C. Thomas Howell was in both. Right. And I don't know if there was a lot of others, but like Red Dawn, I mean, Outsiders was kind of melancholy and kind of overly dramatized, in my opinion. But
yeah, look at that death scene
of Matt Dillon.
Yeah,
where he's like he's just got he's on the beach of Normandy, but he's really just like in some neighborhood, and he's like got beat up. And
yeah,
that was a bit of overacting, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of like the thing where you're like, you're dying, you're dead. No, you know, you're not dead yet. Wait, was I still there?
Yeah, I should watch Red Dawn again or The Outsiders again, because they probably, I don't know if they've stood up well. What do you, I just haven't seen them in so long.
Have right. you? What about Scarface? Were you into Scarface? I love that movie.
That was too gory for me.
Right, Pelicans 5. But that death scene at the end is pretty over the top too. He gets shot like 750 times and he still stands there like, give me more. But, and then he falls into the fountain. I mean, I'm not a big Oliver Stone fan in general, or Brian De Palma for that matter, but that movie, Scarface, was a great movie. It was written by Oliver Stone and directed by Brian De Palma.
I did not know that, but I saw Platoon in the theater like four times. Did you see it a few times?
I did, and I enjoyed it for what it was at the time.
Yeah, I rewatched it recently, and there's some overacting going on there, too. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. We went to the movies probably more than you think we did, actually.
I never did. I remember seeing Jaws 3 because, like the changes you take for my sister, I used to take her movie pass. Every year at Christmas, we got these movie passes for Edwards, and you couldn't use them to see like the new movies. It was like movies that had been out for like 2 or 3 weeks, and you could see them with these passes that were like cheaper to buy. So we'd get them at Christmas, and I'd give my sister like 3 months to use it. If you didn't use it by 3 months, then it was mine. Oh, and so I remember taking it when I go into a room. Yeah, we get them at Christmas, and if by March April, or April you hadn't used it, then it was mine, and I would go take it and go see a movie. And I remember taking it and going to see Jaws 3D with it, which wasn't a really great movie.
No, I don't think it was either.
But it was the 3D-ness of it that drew me in. I wanted to see this 3D movie.
That probably wasn't very good either.
No, it wasn't.
The 3D part of it. That's like the red and blue glasses, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't like later 3D, like with Pixar and stuff. It's yeah, it was pretty crappy. I might have never seen Scarface.
Wow, you should see it. It's a great movie. It really is a great movie. There's a lot of great quotes in that movie as well. But it's just a really powerful movie.
Well, in terms of all the, you know, we, for whatever reason, and I don't even know if we ever saw it in the theater. We probably did, but over the last, 35 years, the movie with probably the most, like, sort of quotes between us and our friend Sean is Fletch, don't you think?
For sure.
Fletch is awesome.
Fletch was, I mean, it's funny because Chevy Chase had a run of great movies back then. I mean, starting with like, Seemed Like Old Times and what was the other one?
Foul Play.
Foul Play. They weren't like top quality movies. Watch out for the little people. They're taking over the world.
Right.
But they were fun movies. And then, you know, you got into Fletch and of course, Vacation.
And Vacation, the first Vacation. A lot of people like Christmas Vacation and stuff, but I think they all suck compared to the original.
You know? Right. Well, European Vacation was the worst of all.
It might. Yeah, it probably is. But
we didn't have the same. Well, I mean, the people who play the kids were not as good as.
They were not good. As Anthony Michael Hall and whoever yeah. that girl was.
Right.
But yeah, real tomato ketchup, Eddie? Nothing but the best.
Or what? I don't know why they call it stuffed hamburger helper. It does just fine by itself. Or like, you ever want to sell one of these? Sell them. I use them all the time. How do you use a magazine? I was getting to that. You ever Bobby Bologna?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of great lines. Dog, what was it? When he put when Chevy Chase in Vacation forgot that he had tied the dog to the bumper. Right. Of the car on the road trip, and then when the aunt figured it out, she called it like dog killer,
yeah,
murderer.
It was after he got pulled over by the police that she figured it out. Like, nope, yeah, he was right. I was driving too fast. You should not. You didn't pull me over because of that. Nope, you know, he was right. She was right.
Yeah.
I was driving too fast. I was driving like a maniac.
I was driving like a maniac. That's a lesson to you kids. And then the cop comes back and hands him the leash. I'll go clean the rest of the carcass off the road, sir. Right. Yeah,
exactly. There's other scenes that were less believable, like Christie Brinkley really wanting to hang out with
Chevy Chase.
His character, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, yeah. She's doing with the Ferrari, doing at that crappy hotel they were at to begin with.
Well, you know, I mean, just because she drove a Ferrari doesn't mean she doesn't want to stay at a Days Inn and swim in the pool with the regular people. I mean, that happens all the time. Like supermodels driving Ferraris, hanging out at the Days Inn, but and in the bar, like she's going to be in the bar in the middle of nowhere or something. But yeah,
I ordered some fish for you or whatever he says.
Yeah, yeah.
Like swimming naked with girls. Girls, I mean, it's just she's the pool waitress.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember that scene after?
Did she take your order? Oh, yeah, she took my order. You know, son. it's just a great movie, and I don't know. I mean, we've probably seen it a million times, right? I don't know. I mean, a million, but and then you know they make a sequel. And then it doesn't come anywhere close. I mean, I don't think I can remember a single line from Fletch Lives. Do you?
No, I can't. But it wasn't as bad as we thought it was. When you saw it again. And like, well, even, yeah. But also, if you watch Fletch Lives again, you're like, okay, I expected it to be Fletch. And it wasn't. But it actually wasn't as bad as I made it out to be when I was so disappointed the first time I saw it. Not that it's great, but it doesn't have half the quotes that the original one does, or you know, like, can I borrow your towel? My car ran over a water buffalo.
Water buffalo, yeah.
Or a water buffalo. Or there's so many great one-line little things in that movie. And you know, Alyssa and I went to a resort in Palm Springs over the weekend, and I can't help but think about people walking up to say, "You remember, sir." No, I'm a guest of the Underhills. You went out for zero analysis. We'll have a steak sandwich and a steak sandwich.
But they have left. Well, they'll be back.
Yeah. You went out for zero analysis.
You went out for his zero analysis. I mean, yeah. And just the whole premise with like Timothy Matheson and stuff saying that he needs to hire Fletch to kill him because he's got bone cancer. And all that stuff, and you know, after leaving bone cancer, and I mean, this is a great movie. Back to the kids movie, back not kids, teenage movies. I remember seeing Less Than Zero in the theater with my then girlfriend. Do you see that movie?
I do remember the movie. I saw it more on VHS or on cable, but that's quite a movie.
I just watched it recently. And
that's kind of a movie that really went over my head to a certain degree with the whole him doing stuff for drugs type of.
Oh, yeah, that was a bit intense. But so you had what's his name? Robert Downey Jr. and then Andrew McCarthy, James Spader, and what's her name? Jamie Gertz? Was it Jamie Gertz?
I'm not sure.
But that was another one of those things that I just couldn't relate to. It was like all these Beverly Hills kids that are just out of high school, and they kind of came across like full-blown adults, like with their lifestyle and the way they communicated and the parties they went to. And I was at the time a senior. I'm thinking, there's no way in a year am I going to be at a party like that or driving out to Palm Springs or whatever. But it's really good, actually. You should watch it again. But yeah, that whole James Spader being a coke dealer slash like pimp.
Yeah.
And he's like, 18, 19? It's just kind of unrealistic, I thought. I don't, but I love it, though. It's a good movie. It's kind of avant-garde, too.
Right. Well, how about some of the dark comedies that came out that we enjoyed, such as River's Edge? That's a classic. God. Fleck.
Yeah. River's Edge with Keanu. I mean, that might be Keanu Reeves' best movie.
I think it probably is, yeah.
And Crispin Glover was in that.
Crispin Glover's great in that movie.
Yeah, that movie was also like, who are, I guess it's like a different part of the country. They're kind of, the way they dressed and stuff, what would you call that sort of like it was, it looked kind of grungy pre-grunge.
I suppose it was like not trailer park, but sort of like middle America, nothing sort of.
Yeah, the place where meth thrives.
Yeah, well, there's nothing to do but go out and drink down by the river and.
Yeah, well, Ione Skye was in that movie,
right?
That was a great movie. I think it's kind of a cult classic in my head. It's like I now want to watch it again. It's pretty good.
It's a great movie. It's definitely a dark comedy.
It kind of has almost like a John what's the name of that actor, the director who did Blue Velvet?
David Lynch.
It's kind of got a David Lynch-y feel, don't you think?
Maybe if he did a teenage. Well, I mean, Blue Velvet sort of. I mean, what's his face? Kyle MacLachlan's character was pretty young in that movie, but I don't know that David Lynch ever did like a true teenage movie. But if he did, it would probably be
River's Edge.
Yeah. He loved Crispin Glover. I think David Lynch did.
Did he? Was he in Wild at Heart?
Yeah, he was making a sandwich. With all like,
yeah. He was in, but that's a flashback, isn't that like a flashback, yeah. Or something? Yeah,
like cockroaches or whatever. He's like making the sandwich. Or whatever. He's like, what are you doing? I'm making a sandwich.
Yeah, But Blue Velvet actually kind of blew. I think that movie blew my mind when I saw it. Actually, I don't think I saw it in the theater though, because that'd be a little intense. Maybe, but that was a great movie too.
But the other dark comedy that was a big one was Heathers.
Oh, what year did that come out? Sorry, just the mayor of Fullerton's calling me. Anyway, what other dark movies were there? Heathers, did that come out in 90 though? That might have came out. I think it came out. Maybe it did. Well, Christian Slater, he had a decent run for a little while too, but I think he got kind of overplayed a little bit. Like Pirate Radio. You ever see that movie?
Yeah. 1988. Heathers came out in 88.
Okay, fair enough. Winona Ryder. That was a great movie. And the one line I remember from it, I'm not going to say on this, actually. Do you know what I'm talking about?
On Heathers? Like,
Say you like to suck, and he's like, I love to.
Right, that scene where they made, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, was that the first Winona Ryder movie I ever saw? It might be, huh?
It could be, I suppose. I don't know.
No, she was in Beetlejuice.
Who's Beetlejuice? Is that before that?
Yeah, for sure. That was a pretty crazy movie too. Yeah, Tim Burton had a few movies back then. I think
Pee Wee's Big Adventure. Come on,
Pee Wee's Big Adventure, and that's got a lot of great one-liners too.
I watched that recently with the girls, my girls, and they loved it.
Yeah, it held up.
Oh, definitely. That movie definitely holds up. It's
Large it's Marge.
Yeah, Large Marge sent you. But the whole like,
tell them Large wait, Marge.
This is there are thousands of ways in which you can use a tortilla. All of which we will go over right now.
That was at the Alamo, yeah, right?
Right. Yeah.
and he just wants to get out of there.
And then right? That whole chase scene where Twisted Sister comes out. Won't you see no evil? Won't you see you're gonna burn in hell? They're like making their little music video, and he like rides through it on his bike when he's getting chased through all the sound stages and all that stuff. When he steals his bike back, he dresses up as the nun, and yeah. the little poor boys. I'll take it. Whatever. And he takes off and gets in that big chase throughout the sound stages of. Whatever
that's right. Then he Warner was like the King, like the King Kong walking through the models and smashing him and stuff. Yeah, that was that's a great. I should watch that with my.
It's a classic chase scenes.
My daughter likes to watch old stuff sometimes. I have to.
Oh, it's a great movie.
I have to twist her arms sometimes, and then she goes, "Okay, fine, that was good." You know, but she's 17. But
my kids like the fact that when he was. That pet store was on fire, and he kept running in, but he didn't like the snakes, so he like stopped the snakes, and he'd like save everything else, and then finally at the end he like runs out with all these snakes in his hand and passes out.
Yeah. So we're at about 50 minutes. I want to bring up one more movie. It might segue into an episode about computers that we've been promising. Do you remember watching War Games?
Of course.
Yeah, that was kind of.
Shall we play a game? How about global? How about a nice game of chess? No, I want to play global thermonuclear war.
And he had to type it all out.
Right.
No, I'd like to play global thermonuclear war, and then the computer voice was fine or something like that. But that had Ali Sheedy and Matthew Broderick. But the cool thing about it is sort of mixed the Cold War with the PC computer boom, and it was before I had gotten a modem, I think. And in the movie, you know, it was the modem where you took the handset of a regular phone for your house and put it on the thing,
right?
On that modem with the holes in it. And he was like trying to find the new latest game.
Were you trying to like change his grade or something?
Well, he just did that all the time. Like, you know, and he was smart about it too, because he would like change it from an F to a C-, not like an F to an A. So it's not like super noticeable. Yeah. And it was kind of funny. Like, I know where they keep the passwords, and he would to the principal's office, and while he's waiting, he pulls the drawer out, and they had like passwords that they crossed off like and used. But I just totally dug that movie because of those whole themes of Cold War and the whole computer geek thing. I don't know. It was cool.
Is it Dabney Coleman, like the bad guy,
creator? he was kind of a douchey national defense advisor type.
Okay,
but he had been partners or friends with, I think his name was. Hawking, the guy who had created the Joshua computer back in the day, so he had some history with the whole War Games thing. But he was Dabney Coleman. He was big in the 80s as a character actor. Kind of played the same character all the time, you know. Kind of a jerk or something, you know. I mean, there's just so many great movies.
We haven't even touched base on a lot of. Like the whole Eddie Murphy series of movies.
That's true. Yeah, Trading Places. Maybe we need to revisit this later. Or weave stuff in. But Trading Places, Coming to America, Beverly Hills Cop, 48 Hours. Oh my God, 48 Hours. It was pretty awesome. So anyway, well, we should probably wrap this up. Got to get back on the horse sometime, you know. We'll probably do another one, this weekend or close to it. And if you want to comment about movies on our Facebook page, please be our guest. So I don't know. You got any final thoughts, Scott?
No, I think I'm good. I think we definitely have covered a lot, and we didn't cover a lot at the same time. There's so much out there. I mean, just the idea of, you know, the era that we grew up in and how, you know, went from having to watch a movie on TV to like being able to watch a movie whenever you wanted and watch it over and over again whenever you wanted, or to come across all the rated R movies you never could see and
right.
be able to rent them and watch them how many times you wanted, or see anything you wanted to get your hands on, you know, you could
yeah.
be the individual that you wanted to be versus without your parents being able to know that you did it.
Yeah, there was no parental controls. If you had HBO at your house and you were up late, you could see some R-rated movies. The movie channel, I think that was the only one that allowed movies, R-rated movies during the day. I remember seeing that Kentucky Fried movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a movie your parents weren't necessarily tell you to go yeah. see, but that was a classic for sure.
Wasn't that the Zucker? I can't remember. But
yeah, it was, movie. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was them. David and Zucker. They made, and Zucker Brothers.
They made Airplane 2 and all those slapstick spoofy things.
Yeah, what was that one with the guy from Real Genius? That wasn't Real Genius, but what's his name?
Real Genius. You mean Val Kilmer?
Yeah.
Oh God, that movie! What was the name of that movie? I'm gonna find it. That movie is awesome.
Right, that was a classic. I think it was a Zucker Brothers movie as well.
Oh, I have to know that before we sign off. I got to do this quick. Let me see. 80s movies. Let me see here.
We'll just look up the Zucker Brothers because it was one of theirs. But I'll keep talking while you. So, yeah, I mean, and just being able to record movies illegally, as it were, and have them in your thing. I mean, it was an era of
Top Secret.
Top Secret.
That was awesome. I have to watch that now. I mean,
it's a classic.
It's There's a classic.
Pretty movies back there.
There are. It was a great era for movies as well.
Yeah, and a lot of the stuff we quoted were the comedies for sure.
Yeah, we did quote a lot of comedies. Yeah, I mean, I saw a lot of sci-fi and a lot of Indiana Jones type stuff, and even The Untouchables and others. There's a whole, but there were some great movies in the 80s, and they still hold up. But I think those teen movies were something that never had happened before, like in the 70s and the 60s. Treating teenagers as important main characters was like a truly 80s phenomenon. And
the soundtracks that came with them were another thing that really was great for us.
You know, yeah, totally. Music
that we were into as well.
There was a Saturday Night Live type show. I can't remember the name of it on HBO that kind of had spoofy kind of skits, and they had a skit called John Hughes's Day Off, and it was show. And the character who was playing John Hughes was like in a I don't know, a cafe that like teenagers hung out, and he's in the next booth over listening to them talk and writing down what they're saying. Like, because, you know, where did he get his material from? Cause but it was so spot on. It was, and the music was great. I mean, it was just so great. It was like exactly what we were listening to pretty much.
Remember the Kids in the Hall? Was that like a HBO thing?
That was on HBO. I think. Yeah. I think that was a bunch of Canadians.
Yes, but that was some really funny stuff. That some great skits in that. We watched that plenty as well. And then I still do the smashing your head. I'm smashing your head. You remember that?
I'm squishing your head. I think.
Yeah, they would look between their fingers.
The fingers.
And like,
squishing your
squish
head.
People's heads.
Yeah, totally.
I'll still do that right, sometimes. Man. Or say doctor. 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 You know who that is? Doctor? Doctor?
No, tell me. I forget.
Spies Like Us.
Oh, Spies Like Us.
Wasn't that great a movie? It's like Three Amigos. Three Amigos that allowed me to know what a plethora was. Did they have a plethora of gifts?
Yeah, you know, those movies, I mean, that's the funny thing about some of the movies. Like, I don't think Spies Like Us and Three Amigos, Dr. Detroit, those movies like that, they don't stand up very well, mm-hmm. you know, anymore. Like, watching those again would be like, it was funny when I was 15. You know?
Spies Like Us for sure. Three Amigos, yeah. I might enjoy a little more. But Spies Like Us, you know, at the time, I was like, okay, I've seen it.
Well, Steve Martin did a bunch of weird movies, like The Man with Two Brains and stuff. They were just – some of that stuff sucks.
The Jerk. The Jerk.
I don't even like it that much.
The Jerk?
Yeah. I don't know why. But I do like Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
Oh, that was a great movie too. But The Jerk is pretty funny. There's a lot of great quotes in there. Like, when he's – choose anything between here and here, and it kept getting smaller and smaller to like that little.
Yeah.
Which he's like, she promised me a blowjob later or whatever. He's talking about doing his hair.
Right. Yeah. And he's like, what is it like? Cup of pizza. I think the original cup of pizza was better. Right. You know, or whatever like that. Anyway. All right, man. Let's wrap it up. We'll see you next time on Quintessential. All
right. See ya.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Brought by Treetop Studio in combination with Scott Martinez and Productions.